these are men that had gone through Anzac, through France, Syria, places that were just a mess, ruined virtually. May have been shipped to England, some were, and then via England back here. So you've got months on a ship getting there and back, but mentally they were absolute not a mess.
As the end neared for history's most ferocious war, Tasmanians were reminded daily of the human cost. Everywhere, returned soldiers were shell-shocked and incapacitated. When the Red Cross formed its local branch at the start of the war, few could predict how crucial the charities and patriotic funds would become.
Without the Red Cross, I suppose the government might have come to the party and done something, but in that day there just wasn't anyone to do anything to help these men when they came home. The Red Cross actually met them at the wharves and took them off to ships. Some came into Launceston and were brought down by train and met at the trains.
Each group that returned was greeted often by crowds of Hobart people. There was always an official welcoming with the mayor, representative of the church, the Red Cross and the army. But we're talking about people who not only were sort of maimed, some had lost legs and parts of their body, but there were also people who, you know, the trauma of war had got to them and they needed peace and quiet of a tranquil setting, which Rosneath provided.
Just a couple of kilometres north at Austin's Ferry, the newly formed Red Cross took over the old Rosneath House as the main convalescence home for returned soldiers.
Popped along as a hotel. I mean, it was still a hotel in the 1890s. And then it sort of shut up, became a private house for a little while, and then around about 1915, the army decided that they were going to turn it into a convalescent hospital, where they looked after the soldiers and taught them how to get back into normal life and everything else. And it was opened by the governor. And the picture actually depicts, that's the actual opening. You can see the nurses up on the veranda.
Volunteers, I believe they got a spending allowance. They didn't have much training. 6 weeks for physical wounds at the Royal Hobart Hospital. Even the aides that helped out, that worked day in, day out, sort of thing, no break whatsoever. They would eventually, after a few months, learn how to do most things, I should imagine, like dressings and... But I don't think there was a lot of wounds left by the time the men got back from the war, only mentally. And, of course, those that had been amputised, they had to go somewhere until they could get around again and have aids made for them. But when you look through, you find a lot of the ladies were married ladies that had headed up things. They were supported in the end by the REPAP, but before the REPAP was up and running properly, the Repatriation Department, it was done by Red Cross nurses.
Not only did people come to the hospital to entertain the soldiers, so if there was a visiting theatre group, they'd often come out and entertain the soldiers, and that was very much appreciated. That we're talking about a weekly basis. Something happened weekly in that line. But also around about a weekly basis, the men would go out to various parts of the country, usually driven in motor cars that were lent for the occasion. So there were about four or five drivers. But also it was beside the River Derwent. The men who needed the peace and quiet not only had a really very nice atmosphere of being in the country, they could also spend time on the river.
Here we are, there's a bit more here.
The Red Cross's Rita Richards has been investigating the World War One AGM records.
During the year, the express train from Launceston has been met on 34 occasions by the transport officer, Major A.C. Parker, and 541 returned invalid soldiers have been received and conveyed to the Red Cross Hospital in motor cars, kindly lent
also by been made on four occasions, whereby patients at Roseneath Hospital have been conveyed to
the hospital at Roseneath. A second billiard table has been provided for the recreation room. A carpenter shop with a view of assisting invalid soldiers. The committee decided to establish a carpenter shop. A large room was placed at the disposal of the Red Cross by the military for the purpose. The workshop is equipped with 8 benches, tools and necessary up-to-date requests.
Like our soldiers, Tasmanian nurses working overseas were also recognised for their courage under fire, some with a military medal.
It's given for acts of bravery. It was initiated in 1916. A number of Tasmanian soldiers were given the MM. Interesting enough, it can also be given to women. There was a Tasmanian nurse, Claire Deacon, and she became a trained nurse at the Royal Hobart Hospital, and she was given the MM for her services. She nursed many of the wounded from Gallipoli, and on the night of the 22nd of July, while Claire was serving with the Australian Casualty Clearing Station in France, an air raid warning was sounded. Rather than taking shelter in the bunker, Claire, this is a wonderful Tasmanian nurse who was off duty at the time, and two other nurses ran into the hospital to rescue patients. They risked their lives by evacuating them from the burning buildings while the station was being bombed, and for that, the King of England, George V, gave Claire, a Tasmanian nurse, a military medal.
The message from the King regarding the armistice. At the moment when the armistice is signed, bringing, I trust, a final end to the hostilities which have convulsed the whole world for more than 4 years, I desire to send a message of greeting and heartfelt gratitude.
This is a little magazine that was produced at the Claremont camp. It's called Square the Dink. And this is the final issue, and it was issued in November the 14th, 1918.
His wonderful efforts and sacrifices have contributed so greatly to secure the victory which is now won. Together we have borne this tremendous burden in a fight for justice and liberty. Together we now rejoice at the realisation of those great aims for which we entered the struggle.
Sadly, Roseneath House hasn't survived into the modern era. It was destroyed in the 1967 bushfires. Our speakers included Fiona Ramshaw, guide at Austin's Cottage, photo historian Colin Dennison, and military historian Reg Watson.